It happened in the jungle one day. A lion with a big ego went around asking the other animals who the king of the jungle was. "Who's the king of the jungle?" the lion roared at a monkey. "Why, you are, Mr. Lion," said the monkey with fear in his voice. The lion went on and found a zebra. "Who's the king of the jungle?" he snarled. "There's no doubt about it. You are, Mr. Lion," said the zebra. Seeing a turtle crossing his path, the lion bellowed out, "Who's the king of the jungle?" Scared out of his shell, the turtle said, "You are, Mr. Lion. You are the king of the jungle." Then the lion came upon an elephant. Once again, he roared out the question, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The elephant used his trunk to grab the lion by his tail, spun him around over his head several times, dunked him in a mud hole, and slammed him into a large tree. Dazed and dirty, the lion said, "Just because you didn't know the correct answer was no reason to get all upset." Sometimes we're like that lion. In spite of all the evidence against it, sometimes we act and feel like we're that lion. We feel like we're very important. And everything in life just revolves around us. And it does not. We brag about what we have, and we brag about this, and we brag about that. And it starts early in life. You tell your children how great they are, and I tell mine or told them at that age. And don't take me wrong, I believe in building self-esteem in children and all that. But we tell them how great they are. And then we tell them that they'll never lose. They're always winners. And you get where I'm going, I hope. It's true that they are winners and we need to build people up. But it's also true that they're not the best at everything they do. We brag and brag and brag. Little kids, "My dad's bigger than your dad. My mom's better than your mom." Now, I know you remember some of that kind of stuff. And we go on doing that through life. when we hear these words today, it makes us think. You know, parents say, "Well, you know, my child, they knew all their letters. They knew their numbers way before your child did. My child's smarter than yours." Then we get to grandchildren, which I've not experienced yet, but I mean, you heard Tawana. No, I'm just kidding back there now. She is thankful for baby Hazel, and we are too, and it's great. And one day maybe I'll experience that feeling too. You got to understand, not to take me wrong, we're to encourage people, we're to build people up and all that kind of thing. We have passion for whatever your passion is. And it's good to have passion for things. My team's better than your team. We're number one. And then we look at the Word of God here and it seems to say, "All you prideful people, I'm going to let the air out of your bubbles." Pride's a bad thing. You're looking at me like, "What in the world are you talking about?" So let's go to a scripture here. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it's written, let him boast in the Lord." So if we're going to boast, we need to boast in the Lord, according to this scripture. It's not all about what I can do, you can do, even what we can do, even though we are supposed to do all we possibly can do. This reminds us that we must rely upon the Lord Himself, that we had nothing to offer Almighty God. Do you agree with that or not? We didn't have anything to offer Him. We were sinful people, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So if we're any good within us, where did the good come from? Through Jesus Christ the Lord. If we accomplish any good thing, who gets the credit for that? Should be the Lord Himself. All glory should be going to Him. So if we're going to boast about anything, boast in the Lord, the scripture says, because He's given to us. And Paul here, the Apostle Paul, he wanted the Corinthians to remember a few things. He wanted them to remember how they were brought to faith, how they, someone told, how he told them this story that seemed too good to believe in, really, but how this Jesus came and died for their sins, and by faith they could receive Him, just like us today. By faith we receive Jesus Christ the Lord, and we can be forgiven. And he brought this, this unimpressive man, Paul, brought that to them. And it seemed like foolishness to wise people. It seemed like this is too good to believe in, or just foolishness altogether. It goes to prove you can't figure it out. You can't sit down and figure out all that God has done and all that in the creation and everything else. So there's a faith factor that I must believe and have faith that God has done what He said, that I can't figure out all the things of God. They had done nothing for their salvation, just like you and I. We didn't do anything. God's great mercy, His grace, Jesus' death, all of that was given to us. We can't earn it. We can't brag about it. You know, yeah, I'm a Christian. Look what I've done. Because all of that came from God. All that came from Jesus, given to us. Grace, mercy. That he has given to us. So if there's any boasting here, he says, boast in the Lord. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of you of noble birth. Now, why would a pastor stand up in front of a congregation and say that? Why would he? It's almost things that they wouldn't want to hear. All right, you folks at Jones Chapel, really, you was a bunch of losers before you came in here. Now, that just thrilled you, didn't it? Well, I know that's a little over the top, maybe, but he's saying, listen, you didn't have anything to offer before you met Jesus, and it's a true statement. You came from a good family, or you did this, or you did that. All that's wonderful, but when we get right down to it, rich or poor, black or white, man or woman, boy or girl, whatever, all we have comes from the blessings of God. Salvation itself comes from Jesus Christ the Lord, and we are indebted to Him. He is not indebted to us. He is God. We are His servants, and we're to serve Him and know that every good thing we have comes from Him. And the Corinthians had boasted how smart they were and how they followers of Jesus and this kind of thing. And a sinful pride had come in on the congregation like a fog all over it. They were talking about what they could do. And Paul, I believe, is reminding them, listen, this sinful pride thing you've got going on, talking about all you are, needs to be dealt with. And I think that's what he was trying to get across here to this church. They were fighting among themselves. They had lost their focus. They had lost the mission about what the church really was about. And they needed a reminder. And Paul certainly gave them that reminder Look what God has done for you. Look how far God has brought you. Not bringing yourselves, what God has done. So he gave him a wake-up call here and said, look what God has done. And if you're going to boast, boast on what God has done. He went on, he said, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God said, I'm going to save creatures that have nothing to offer me. And he did that because he loves mankind. Because he wanted a family of God. The next slide on the screen there, it says, apart from God, no one has anything to boast about. Now, if you sat around and listened to conversations, you would think differently. If we're honest with one another, and we all get caught up in it to some degree at some time, so it's not like, some did and some didn't. We all have it sometime or other about what I've done and I've accomplished and on it goes. And when it comes back to it, he's saying, apart from God, no one has anything to boast about. Can you imagine if salvation was a responsibility of me that I could get to heaven and then brag about, look what I did to get saved. It's not going to happen that way. It's what he did, what Jesus Christ did to save me. Look what Jesus did. Look what God has done. Look at how the Holy Spirit has worked. Look at the good Jesus has brought about in our lives. Not all that we have done. And we can't brag about salvation on what we have done. He says, no one can boast before me, in other words, on what you've done to gain this salvation. He has given it to us. And it's important that we remember that. Romans 3 on the screen, 27-28. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No. But on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. If we could keep God's commandments perfectly, if you could say, I can keep every commandment that God made all the time, you would, number one, be telling a lie. And that was the problem with the old covenant. And we've got a new covenant now. And in God's mercy, his love, and his grace, he has decided now that, yes, Ron Leonard, you're guilty. Yes, you've been in sin. Yes, that's you. But I will declare you innocent. I will say you're not guilty when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. When the blood of Christ is applied to you, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. But I'm going to count you as my child. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to save you. And you will be a child of the living God. And I'll even take you to a place called heaven that you don't deserve. You don't really even understand. But I'm willing to do that for you. Now, what kind of deal is that? Best deal you've ever heard. Best deal you could ever take. That he says, now, you're not going to be guilty here, even though you are. So if I'm going to boast about anything, the Scripture says I ought to be boasting about Jesus Christ the Lord. I ought to be saying, look what Jesus has done. Look what he's done for me personally. Look what he's done for my family. Or look at what Jesus has done. Not about what I might have done or my family might do or what have you. Look what Jesus has done. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's that word again about boasting. Listen, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And we've read that, certainly not the first time we've heard it, but we just need to be reminded from time to time. Nothing that I am, nothing I could be, nothing that I have done would be cause enough for God to give me His grace. He chose to do it beforehand. This was in God's plan that Jesus would die for our sins. And we need to thank Him. And we need to boast about what God has done. Football. It's that time of year. Everybody loves it. Most people love it. Some people are crazy over it. You're watching it, and I think it can help us make a point. Here's the big game. Your team wins, and you're bragging about it. And that's all right to some degree, I guess. Did you play in the preseason game? You yourself play in the preseason game? No, you didn't. Did you play in a regular season game? No. Would you play in the playoffs? No. Did your cheering and your yelling at your TV set help your team win? No, is the answer. It didn't help them win one bit. It just didn't help them do it. So you didn't do a whole lot, but you're bragging about what we did. Bragging about the strength and talent of someone else is what you're doing. Because you didn't play any of those games I mentioned. The yelling at that TV, it might have helped you, but it didn't do a thing for that team. You're bragging on what they have done. And we need to be bragging on what Jesus Christ the Lord has done. Because I didn't play in the game, you didn't play in the game, they got to the Super Bowl, let's say. They won the Super Bowl, we're all excited and good for it. But what about the Super Bowl and Christianity? What about the game that we're living in called life? What about the way that we live? And oh, some people get so caught up in themselves and some start bragging about all they have done when they're not doing a whole lot of it. By God's grace, by God's mercy, by God's goodness, His forgiveness came and did all that work for Ron and for you that we can be saved, that we can be children of God, and what do we go bragging on? Well, look at what preachers are bad about it. Y'all look shocked now. I'll tell you, boy, my church is really growing right now, buddy. I'll tell you, we did this, we did that. Boy, we're really growing. Just go to a few preachers' meetings. You'll hear it. We're really doing something. And then things go down. That's a whole different thought. And then you don't hear much out of them. God needs to be bragged on. The Lord Jesus Christ needs you bragging on Him. Does He really need it? Well, no. All His glory is there. God in His glory. Jesus in His glory. It's there whether you brag on Him or not. You're not going to take it away from Him because you can't and I can't. And that's not our mission to do that. But He says, I want my people to praise me, worship me, and to thank Him for what He has done. And if we're going to boast on anybody, why don't we boast on Jesus? But we're boasting on everything else. We're talking about every football team. And don't take me wrong, I'm not against all your team stuff and all that, but you can carry it too far. What would happen if you'd brag on Jesus the way you do your favorite team? Whatever my passion is in life, what would happen if I told people as much about Jesus Christ as I am everything else in life? The one who saved me. The one who gives me life this day. The one who gives me my next heartbeat. And the one who's got a plan that I can't even see. I just get a little glimpse here and there. Don't even have the promise of tomorrow. Could die today or Jesus himself could come today. I don't know all that's out there, but I know this, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know that Jesus Christ saved me, changed my heart, put me on a different path than it is his path. And I know if there's anything good in me, it comes from Jesus Christ the Lord. And we need to brag on Jesus. Not what we've accomplished, not what this is, not that or the other. But if there's any boasting to be done, it needs to be on Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, he came up with the plan, the wisest plan, things that we can't even comprehend. He did that. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So if you want to brag on something, brag about Jesus. Paul says here, listen, he's your righteousness. He's your holiness. He's the one who gives you all these good things. Galatians 4 on the screen says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. That we could receive that. Again, if we're going to boast, let's boast on Jesus and what he's done. On the Lord for good things. Galatians 6:14 says, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll go out of this place and we'll talk about Jesus as much as we talk about all this other stuff in life, we'd be better off. The community will be better off. And you say, well, I've been around people like that. They seem like a little bit of a fanatic to me. I've not seen a fanatic lately. I've not even seen the church be the church in America lately. I've seen people all concerned about what they're doing, and it's all about them, and they're so selfish that they don't even have time to come to church themselves. Not even sacrifice for the kingdom of God where they call it to be their church home. And I'm not against people going out on fall break and missing some church every now and then and having a vacation every now and then, but you tell me how much is enough. How much is enough? How much in our own land is enough? How far do we have to go? And in America, in our own land, how far away from God are we going to go before God gets highly upset? When you look at the news and you see all this stuff that they're telling a lie and saying it's the truth, Scripture talks about that too. In our own land. And it's not just in D.C., but it's all around us. When's God going to say, enough's enough? When's God going to turn to Jesus and say, go get the church? I don't know when that day's going to be, but it's going to happen. And when it happens, what will we be doing? You know, if I get discouraged about the attendance or I get discouraged about this or the other, and I talk to Judy about it sometimes because I can just let it all go. You know, I can just tell her how I really feel. You know, sometimes she looks at me pretty smart and she'll say, how are you living? I've got to answer that question. Me, how am I living? How's my heart? And are you preaching what God wants you to preach? Are you being true to Him? See, if I can answer those things, yes, she tells me not to worry about the attendance. What are y'all amening that for? I think I ought to worry. No. Are you going to preach the truth? Are you going to live right? Well, I'm trying. Yes, Judy. Yes. Okay, hush. No, she's not. But I'm telling you, it concerns me to look out here, as Tony Martin said, somebody said, look at all that wood out there. And maybe fall break, spring break, vacation break, every break. How many breaks do you need at school? All you school teachers, now you don't even like me. How much of a break? Well, I don't know the answer, I don't guess. But I want to tell you, we need to be concerned about the church. This church. Jones Chapel, Church of God. Not ever, you know, we just need, how much is enough? Well, we'll have to answer that, I guess. If there's any boasting going on, it needs to be on the Lord. Who's the king of the jungle? The lion still thought he was king even after the elephant showed him otherwise. The world's full of people like that lion. In spite of the evidence, we go on boasting. Young do it. The old do it. We've all done it. Professional athletes do plenty of it. To the little folks on the field playing t-ball, we get into it. Well, what's wrong with a little boasting, you say? There's nothing wrong with loving your children and your grandchildren and supporting them and encouraging them. We know that's what we're to do, but not to just be a braggart. And if we're going to boast, let's do it in the Lord. His great love, His grace, His mercy, His love, His death saved us. Nothing else did. So any good in us comes from Jesus and the mercy that He has given us. We need to boast about that. We need to go out of this place saying to people about life and all the things that we're about, and we talk about it and have a good life and enjoy life. But Jesus, not the preacher, Jesus. You know, not even the name Jones Chapel Church of God, but Jesus needs to be bragged on. Jesus' name needs to be proclaimed. Jesus has done this for me. Jesus has helped my family. Jesus Christ has. And the list goes on and on. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we're a very thankful people to be able to stand in your presence, to be able to truly know in the depths of our heart we're the children of God. Why can we say that? Because we've done this or done that, because we have a certain name, or because we have so much money, or because none of that. But all because of Jesus Christ the Lord. And Father, then, when we accept your Son, we're forgiven. No matter the color of our skin, no matter rich or poor, no matter of all the other stuff in life, we are a child of the living God. Now, Father, I'm very thankful for what people accomplish. I'm very thankful, Lord, for those people who can do so many things and have so many talents and do all that. Like Angie was saying, never take for granted your talent and the things that God's given us. Lord, we're thankful for all that. But you have given it to us. So Lord, help us to praise you, to worship you. Help us to boast in the Lord and on what the Lord has done, what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing. So we need you, Lord. We need you. I need you. I'll start with myself. I need you. My family needs you, Lord. The church body needs you. Our community, our nation, the world that we live in. We need you. And I pray that through it all and all the things that people that are gathered here today have to deal with in life. Could be financial needs, it could be sickness, it could be aging parents, the list goes on and on and on. Through it all, may we look toward heaven and know we have a Savior. And know that He's on our team. And may we depend heavily upon You. Thank You for all You've done for us. I really wonder if I would step into heaven today, how I could ever praise You enough. And how we can do it enough here on this earth. Wherever we go this week and whatever we do, I pray that Jesus will be at the front. Yes, there'll be business to take care of. There'll be teaching to do and jobs to go to. Children to feed and diaper and clean up after, and life will go on. But in it all, God in heaven, help the church to look to You. Help us to look to Jesus. And help us to have Jesus upon our lips and to tell people about You and Your saving grace. And what You have done for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.